Proverbs chapter 7 this evening.
Your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 7. When you found Proverbs chapter 7, let's stand one more time together for the reading of God's Word tonight. You follow along as I read. We'll begin in verse number 6 and go down to verse number 27, the end of the chapter. Tonight I'll be preaching a message entitled Death by the Inch. Death by the Inch. Proverbs 7, verse number 6, the Bible begins, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement." So here's a man looking out his window, and he's going to watch some people, all right? Like some of you folks in town do. Looking out the window, what's going on? "And behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us so lace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." We would do well to take heed tonight to the proverb here and listen to it this evening and take instruction. Lord, tonight we come to you, Father. Thank you for your word, Father, for these warnings throughout the Bible. Thank you, dear God, that we could find refuge, we can find forgiveness, Father, we can find help in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Now as we look at the scripture tonight and begin to talk about discretion and discernment. God bless tonight. I pray tonight that you be glorified. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading this week or the past several weeks, and you see different articles pop up, you know, on the computer and different things. And of course, there's all kinds of things about the current political climate and the election and socialism and things like that. And one of the captions says, "A dog is unaware that it's losing its freedom if his master slowly removes one link a day from his chain until, of course, he has no place to go." I was thinking about this proverb. I was thinking about the disease of leprosy. The disease of leprosy starts out often just small, and it begins with a small sore, a small infection. And as it begins to consume you just one inch at a time until it, of course, leads to death ultimately. So we find that this is what the Word of God tonight is speaking about, this death by the inch. People are often guilty of walking haphazardly or obliviously into tragedy. They don't mean to set out for tragedy. They don't set out for ruin. They just haphazardly or obliviously walk through it just one step at a time. The tragedy didn't come all at once. It just came one inch at a time. The devil slowly takes just one link at a time until sin is conceived and death is the result. And we are witnessing a generation of people tonight in our country, in our homes, in our churches that are young people but yet consumed with baggage, scars, grief, and anxiety. And a generation that professes to know God yet denies the power of God and lacks the power of God. This is fact. This is true of America as well. We've seen America the last several years take one inch or one step towards socialism, just one step at a time, until finally it's going to be too late. And what the left wants, they're going to get. And these snowflake generation, they're going to get what they want. And when they get it, they're not going to want what they got. And anyway, well, I'll leave that to the politics aside because that could get me wound up and take down a whole other path. I want to talk to you about your spiritual condition. Your spiritual condition. And young folks, I want you to listen to me. And I want you to pay attention because a life is ruined. A life like ours, a life like yours is ruined not all at once oftentimes. It's ruined one inch, one step at a time. It's a small step at a time. Here we find tonight in our proverb a young man that that's happened to. What I've described to you tonight happened to him. He didn't set out to be a fornicator. He didn't set out to be a bad man. He didn't set out to get himself in trouble. But without discretion, without understanding, one step at a time, he led him farther away from his father's home, from the will of God, and of course, until his death. We see here what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, this man that was looking out the window. So we had a guy that's looking. My guess, he's probably an older man. We like to do that. We like to look out the window and wonder, what is our neighbor doing now? And well, I hope he doesn't mow the grass, because if he mows the grass, he's got to mow my grass, because my grass is going to be longer than his grass. But anyway, he's looking out the window, and he sees among the youths, it says here, a young man void of understanding. The Bible doesn't say the man was stupid. Okay? So young folks, don't get this idea that somehow if your elders, if your parents, if your grandparents try to advise you of something, that they think that you're stupid. It's not that at all. The Bible doesn't say that he was an unsaved man, that he was a bad Christian. Simply said that this man was a man void of understanding, not so much because of his intellect, because of his youth, because of his age, his lack of experience, his lack of wisdom. So what is understanding then? What is understanding? Understanding defined as this, the faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things present to it. Able to look and see the reality of what's going on around you. Understanding is the ability to comprehend the big picture. Not just see your own little picture, your own little world. Look up here and I'll pay attention. Now, some of you have already, I know you got past introduction, some of you young folks have already checked out. You're thinking about Arby's and Taco Bell and Christmas time and all this stuff. But I want you to tell you, make yourself listen and pay attention. So if you look at me, I know it's a bad thing to look at. But if you look at me, you'll have a better time paying attention tonight and stay plugged in. And so look up here tonight and pay attention. So the understanding is the ability to comprehend the big picture. It's the ability to see past yourself and past your own little world. It's the ability to see the consequences of your decisions and your actions ahead of time. If I do this, if I make this choice, if I go this direction, this is where it's going to play out and end up at. This man did not have that. He had a lack of understanding. Now, why is understanding so important? Look at Proverbs chapter number 2 and look at verse number 11. Proverbs 2, verse number 11. Look what it says here. Talk tonight about discretion. Ability to discern between, not only between right and wrong, but between what's good and what's best. Between foolish choices and good choices, between being able to discern your actions and your choices and the consequences before they take place. Verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. So we find that discretion is important, understanding is important because it will keep us from evil. It'll keep us from ruin. It'll keep us from death. Death for this young man came by the inch. It came just one step at a time. It didn't come in a big leap. It didn't come all of a sudden. It came just one step at a time. And here we find that in these verses between 7 and 27, we find the progression of this young man's life and of his tragedy. This young man in verse number 8 is a young man just hanging out with his friends. That's all it was. Just got together with some friends. They're going to go out and have a good time. And I don't know if they plan on doing anything wrong. They just wanted to get together and hang out. Now, I enjoy fellowship. So we have to sometimes be careful just hanging out. Verse number 8 says that this man was just at a street corner in the evening hours. He just wanted to go down to the street corner to see what he could see. He just wanted to have just a little bit of fun. He was curious about some things. And verse number 10 says that this young man, and now all he's doing now is just talking to a woman. Just talking to a woman. What's so wrong with that? And just one step at a time. We find in verse number 21 through 22, the young man now, he is just following the woman to her house. Just taking her home. Just walking her home. I mean, he's trying to be a gentleman now. Here he is in the dark of the night and evening hours, and this lady now has come and talked to him, she's talked to him, and they flirted with one another. She's enticed him, and now he's just gonna, in his mind, he's just gonna walk her home. And then we find that this young man now, he's helping her in her house. He's left the street corner with his friends. He's taking her on a walk to her home. Now he's just going to help her in the house, make sure that she's safe. And step by step, this young man ends up in her room and in her bed, the Bible says. And then we find that this young man then, in verse 23, the Bible says that like a bird now that hastens to the snare, he is struck through the liver with a dart. Of course, this young man, the Bible's proverb here talks of this young man facing his own death and ruin and tragedy. It didn't come all at once, it just came just one step at a time. And in his mind, every step along the way, he justified why it was not wrong, why he was okay, why he was in the right place, why he was doing the right thing, until he found himself out of God's will, out of the house of God, and in trouble in his life. And of course, we find that sin came and conceived and ended up in death. This young man didn't want to die. He didn't set out to die. He didn't set out to commit sin and to fornicate. He didn't set out to go and to forsake God and to turn his life upside down. He just went down to the street corner to see what he could see. All he wanted to do was just have a little fun. And you know, his parents were too strict and his pastor was too old-fashioned, and he just wanted to go out and see the world a little while. He just wanted to live his own life, make his own decisions. We find that step by step, without discretion, this man ended up in ruin. Sin is a journey. Sin is often a gradual journey, but always ends in death. Now catch that tonight. Sin is often a gradual journey, but it always ends in death. Now this young man, his problem was not just the sin he committed, but the problem was he had a heart problem. He had a heart problem. He was not just... the Word of God didn't say he was rebellious, but he's void of understanding. And how many church people, how many young people, how many moms and dads, without being rebellious, without really having a bad attitude, simply just had a lack of understanding and discretion. They couldn't decide, they couldn't look ahead of time and say, if I go this direction, if I make this choice, if I do this, if I forsake some good things and let some bad habits come into my life or dictate what I do in my life, it's going to take me out of God's will and down the road lead to my demise and my ruin. He had no understanding. Didn't say, well, preacher, I'm not rebellious. Didn't say he was. Well, preacher, I go to church. Maybe he did too. It's not painting him as a rebel, as some kind of a pervert. It's simply he was a young man void of understanding. He had no discretion. And I see today, oftentimes in our church circles, so many people's lives rocked by ruin and tragedy, not because they're rebellious, not because they don't go to church. Not because they're not church members, but because they have a lack of discretion. If I make this choice, if I go that direction, if I begin to allow myself to do certain things, what is the end going to be? So a sin's journey is often gradual, but always ends in death. Look with me at two places in the New Testament. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, please. I want you to notice the principles here about sin before we get to the main part of the message tonight. These are laws, God's laws, that will not be violated without consequences. Galatians chapter 6, I want you to see with me verses 7, 8, and 9. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Be not deceived." Don't deceive yourself. Don't be void of understanding. Have some discretion. God is not mocked. Doesn't matter tonight what home you grew up in, what your last name may be, how long you've been in church, how long you've been saved, God will not be mocked. There are some laws that God said, if you violate certain laws, these are the consequences. I can give you grace, I can give you mercy, I can give you forgiveness, but these are the consequences of certain laws. It's like the law of gravity. It will not be mocked. You can jump off a bridge, you're going to fall. I see sometimes these stupid videos that people put on YouTube that trying to be funny or trying to, you know, the other day I saw a young lady jump off a rooftop with her umbrella thinking it's going to let her come down to the ground slowly. She walked away in a lot of pain. Verse number 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's a principle tonight that cannot be violated. God says this, no matter whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. It's not going to be violated. God said, if you sow to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, if you live your life for fleshly entertainment and for the flesh, if you live your life based upon emotions and what makes you feel good and have no discretion and no discernment between right and wrong, between what's good and better, between what's your will and God's will, God said this, if you live to the flesh, so the flesh you shall reap corruption. It's not going to end well, but if you live in the Spirit of God and reap to the Spirit of God, God then says you shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. There's blessings to live in the Christian life. There's blessings to sowing the Christian life. Hey, there's blessings to reading the Bible and prayer life. There's blessings to pursuing God. There's blessings to going to church. There's blessings to obeying your parents. There's blessings. God will bless those. And you, when you sow right things, you'll reap right things. You must have discretion. This day and hour, it's not like when we were growing up. It's not like it's a different day and age. And there's more to allure young folks and moms and dads away from the house of God today than ever before in the history of our country. And you must have discretion because there are some laws that will not be violated. If you reap to the flesh, you're going to sow to the flesh. Look at me at James chapter 1, 2. James chapter 1. These are some laws that will not be violated. James chapter 1 and verse number 13. James 1:13 says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Well, it must be God's will. It must be God, what God wants. It makes me feel okay. That's what I want. So obviously that's what my heart wants. So it's what God's will. God does not tempt man with evil. It says verse number 13, for I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse number 14 says, but every man is tempted when he was drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That is a law that cannot be violated. Sin always ends in death. It starts out small. Just a temptation. Just a lust. Just a desire. It's small steps that leads you away from God's will, from God's house, from the center of God's will and His blessings. It's just small little things. It's just small little, you know, it begins small in the heart and it begins to grow in the heart and all of a sudden now you're acting upon it. It's just small little steps. But remember this, that whenever, listen, by the way, what's not of faith is of sin. And it's not for you to determine what sin is. You can't define what sin is. God already has defined what sin is. That's the problem today. We want to redefine sin. No, God defines what sin is. And God said this, and when sin is finished, that means sin's going to take you for a ride. It's going to take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It's going to begin to wreak havoc in your life. And when it's finished, it leaves you in a puddle of death. Destroys whatever it touches. So these are the laws that cannot be violated, that cannot be altered or changed. They are more permanent than gravity is. And so tonight I want to encourage that you must use discretion. You have to have understanding. You have to realize that, listen, if I make this choice, where's it going to put me at 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, next year? If I go this direction, if these are my friends, if this is the choices I make, if this is the things I do, if this is the job I get, if this is the person I marry, where's it going to put me in God's will or out of God's will? See, there. Listen, young folks tonight, moms and dads, there are no small choices. We want to say, it's just a night out with my friends. It's just going down the street corner. What's wrong with the street corner? Hey, what's wrong with being out at night, late at night? Hey, it's just walking her home. It's always just a small thing, but these small things lead us to death one step at a time. Before we're even aware of it, we're overcome with temptation. And in the middle of that temptation, we're having fun for a season, then death comes. And how many young families and how many young people have been consumed with sin? But it happened. It didn't happen all at once. It happened just one step at a time. You see, fornication happens one step at a time. Boundaries are pushed. Inappropriate behavior is justified. Divorce doesn't happen overnight. It happens one step at a time. Truth, husbands and wives neglect each other. Boundaries are ignored. And it happens one step at a time. You see, being backslidden, getting out of God's will, doesn't happen always overnight. It happens just one small step at a time. Small steps. Families, all of a sudden, for the reason, they stop tithing. They no longer are obeying God. They don't no longer tithe and put money in the plate and invest in the things of God. They stop tithing. Pretty soon they start missing a Wednesday night here and there. They got things to do. They're tired. They're worn out. It's dark outside now. It's too cold. So they begin staying at home. Pretty soon now they start finding problems with the church. They're going to look for, and they may not be looking, but they're looking. They see problems here and there, and some things don't happen just quite right, and they find problems with the church people and the way things that the church has done for years, and they find problems with the pastor, just one small thing at a time, and then all of a sudden, they get busy on Sundays. Family reunions and picnics and work schedules and kids things and that thing, they don't set out to backslide. They don't set out to ruin their life, to be rebellious. What happens is this one small step at a time inches closer and closer to the precipice. Before we know it, we are consumed. Look back and our life is ruined. And by the way, I've never has met any family yet that's left the will of God in the house of God that's not ripped their lives apart. You name me one that's left the house, that's left the will of God for their life. Whether it be this church or any church. Listen, I understand tonight that there are some folks that God moves from one church to another, but you can't find me tonight where a family or a young person has left the house of God any place and been taken away from the house of God and their life has been better for it. Their life always comes to a ruin and it's just one small step at a time. And sometimes we as adults and preachers and moms and dads, we ignore these small steps. We think, well, they're no big deal. But they're a big deal, this young man. It led to his ruin. So tonight, here's a question tonight I want to answer. How does a person like ourselves, like our young boys and girls here tonight, how do you get wisdom? How do you get understanding? Able to apprehend the reality around you and make choices that keep you in God's will? How do you have discretion? How do you get discretion? If you're young and inexperienced, you ever like it when you're young and you try to apply for a job somewhere? And they say, well, we'd like to have it, but you just don't have enough experience. And so as a young person, your idea is, well, how am I going to experience though somebody hires me? You know? But there is some truth tonight about it having experience. So how does a young person or a young couple, How do we get discretion and use discretion in our youth? Can I give you some help tonight? With me so far? Let me give you some help tonight. Number one is this. Pursue God more than any other of your pursuits. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. Pursue God more than any other of your pursuits. Proverbs chapter 2, I want to read to you a few verses here. Proverbs 2:1 says, My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. There's that word again. If thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, this is the Lord giveth wisdom. Not your education. Not a university. Not another man. Not psychology. Not the humanistic, the public school system. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. He gives wisdom to youth. You can be wise beyond your years. You can be a young man, a young lady in your teen years with great wisdom. You can be a family tonight with great wisdom. You can be a grandpa or grandma with great wisdom because the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, for the man that speaketh forward things. So what is the Proverbs here talking about? He's saying, listen, pursue the Lord more than any other pursuit you have in your life. Pursue God. He says in the Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge is of the holy is understanding. You see, wisdom and knowledge of God is greater than silver and worth more than earthly treasure. If you're going to get wisdom, I'll just pursue wisdom. You won't find it. Preach, I'll just pursue understanding. I'll read books about understanding. I'll read books about wisdom. I'll just get knowledge. And you can listen, you can have knowledge and have a great IQ and still have no understanding and no discretion. You see, wisdom comes from seeking the Lord. The Lord said, listen, seek me. Seek me first. Seek me foremost. Seek me. Make me a priority in your life. Be more than your hobbies, more than a job, more than a wife or a husband. Seek God first. Make him, pursue him more than any other pursuit of your life. Pursue the Lord. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives sound wisdom to the righteous. And by the way, don't ever expect the world to understand the Lord's wisdom. He said, but preacher, my friends think I'm crazy. They're crazy. They're insane. They're led by the devil. Hey, the devil is their father. They're never going to understand the Lord's wisdom because God said that he has chosen that his wisdom to appear to the world to be foolish to confound the wise of this world. So we must pursue the Lord. You see, when wisdom enters into your heart and God's knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, then discretion shall preserve thee. You know why we have some young folks tonight and some couples tonight and churches all across our country not making it and getting out of God's will one step at a time? Because the things of God and the knowledge of God is no longer pleasant to their soul. There's no hunger. There's no desire. It's just become something that we simply have to do because we live in a Christian home. Our parents are Christians. They go down to that church on the street and the things of God, the hymns and the Bible and the preaching and Sunday school hour, these are no longer precious and desired. They're not welcome, but we just drudge through it day after day. But God says when wisdom is pleasant to thy soul, he'll give you discretion. I want you to listen tonight, young folks. You need to love the Word of God more than you love food itself. When you love your hobbies and your video games and sports and clothes and shopping and cars, pursue God. Pursue God. This idea of this average Christianity is not found in the Bible. This nominal Christianity, this being lukewarm and just coming to, mark off a check mark on our list that we went to church and read our Bibles. No, God wants us to pursue Him, not through just our actions, but with our whole heart pursue Him. I wonder tonight if we just are in love with God. Remember being in love with your first time you fall in love with your husband or your wife? This consumed you. Tonight, is that where our heart's at tonight? Pursue God more than any other pursuit of your life. You want to have the right friends? Pursue God. Want to find the right wife? Pursue God. You young ladies want to have the right husband tonight? Don't look for one that's handsome and strong and has money in his pocket. Look for one who's pursuing God. In fact, if you pursue God, that's the one you're going to find. Because there ain't no man there's no evil man that wants to be around a woman who's pursuing God. Pursue God. Hey, you young couples tonight, pursue God. This idea, well, preacher, I won't have any friends. Where did that become a factor? When did that become a decision factor? Well, preacher, if I pursue God like the Bible says, and you know, I'm going to be by myself. That's all right. Well, preacher, I'm not going to have a lot of friends. I'm going to be very popular. I'm going to get likes on Facebook. When did that? Listen, that's what the foolish man talks about, the man void of understanding. So how does a guy get wisdom and discretion? To look at a situation and say, if I choose this job, choose this direction, choose this young lady, choose this young man, if I choose to go that way, if I choose to do those things, here's where it's going to take me down the road. By the way, that's good for adults too. How you spend your money, how you make your choices tonight. How do you get that wisdom, that discretion? Pursue God. Number two is this, trust God. Trust God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Here the word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. God said this, you can trust me with everything in your life. In all your ways, acknowledge me. This idea, well, you know, the phrase, better pray about it, is not a cliche phrase. That's what God says. You better pray about it. You better acknowledge God in all your ways. God, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I like to do, God. What do you say, God? Then lean upon God. Trust in God. Don't lean upon your own understanding. And by the way, you don't have to understand God to trust him. You don't have to even agree with God to trust him. But preacher, I just don't agree with what the Word of God says. You can still trust him. Well, preacher, I don't agree with what the Word of God says about drinking. You don't have to agree. You just have to trust him. That wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Get this trust in God. Said, I will not be mocked. When a man sows, that shall he also reap. Trust God. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Trust the Word of God. You see, the simple want to justify their carnality and their worldliness. And by the way, that's kind of churches that they want today too. It's the same kind of, that same kind of church that justifies carnality and worldliness just one step at a time. You see, they want God to be okay with them living in the harlot's house. See, the problem is not, see, our problem tonight is not living in the harlot's house. The problem was we came to a place where the street corner was okay. That's where the problem got started. It's not that we're preaching, what's so wrong? No, what's so wrong being in the harlot's house? That ain't the issue tonight. The issue is that way back on the street corner we said, it's just hanging out. It's just the street corner. What's so wrong with that? And so now when you preach against the street corner, they label us as cultish and legalistic. When you preach about modesty and about doing right, about having the right kind of heart, about forgiving and kindness and grace and mercy, you see, when we want to hang out over here, right at the door of our bedroom, and say, preacher, as long as I'm not in the bedroom, I'm okay. No, you messed up at the street corner is where you messed up at. The Facebook conversations and the social media, contacting your old boyfriend, your old girlfriend, having the wrong kind of friends, that's where we messed up at. It was the first sip, the first drink, the first rebellion. It's the little things that we say, it's no big deal. You know why today, and not this church thankfully, but why today in the church house do we battle immodesty? Because years ago we said, listen preacher, why are you so excited about modesty? It's just a little bit below the knees. Now we have to fight a way above the knees. And now when you preach about, hey, modesty, we're labeled as legalistic and we're labeled as, you know, cultish and crazy and out of the... This morning, listen, the young folks, I'm going to simply say tonight, the problem is, here's where most of the people live. We're living in the house with sin. Right at the very bedroom door. And the problem was, we got comfortable way back over here saying it's just a street corner. Well, I used to get worked up about it. Just some new music. Mom, Dad, you had your music when you were young. Just some new music. We still every now and then gonna sing some hymns and some old fashioned songs. If it's just some new music, they're sincere. They say God every now and then, and we justify the just the little things. Hey, they said months ago, it's just 2 weeks. Wear a mask for 2 weeks and we'll be okay. Now I hear in the news that in 2021 they want to keep everything shut down until 2022. No, that's just an example. But tonight we have to trust God. Tonight, young folks, tonight can I challenge you tonight to trust God? Pursue Him. And all that you do, pursue God first. Make it a priority to walk with God. In the morning, in the evening, your Bible reading, your prayer life, going to church, talking to older folks about Jesus Christ. Pursue God. And then you come to a place where you listen, preacher, I don't understand. What should I do? Trust God. Trust Him. Acknowledge Him. And He said this, and He shall direct thy paths. Number three. See beyond the immediate and beyond your emotions. See beyond the immediate and beyond your emotions. Look at Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs 22. See beyond the immediate and beyond your emotions. Proverbs 22, verse number 3. Watch what the Bible says. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man. A man with understanding. A man with discretion. He looks well down the road. He sees the evil coming from afar off. Then he hides himself. He said, listen, that's the wrong kind of friends to have. That's the wrong kind of boyfriend, the wrong kind of girlfriend. And so I'm going to hide myself. Hey, that's the wrong direction. That's the wrong standard. That's the wrong doctrine. That's the wrong teaching. That's the wrong preaching. I'm going to hide myself from the evil. But God said, the simple, they have no discretion. They have no discernment. They can't see a far ahead. And they simply passed on and are punished. How many times have we suffered because we were not prepared? Just not prepared. And we just were oblivious to that was around us. This happened tonight. We as American Christians, we better get ready for some hardships in the future. We are so used to liberty and freedom that we can do what we want to do and they can't touch us or harm us. I pray that until God comes, it stays that way. But we can see a great change coming in our near future when Christians are accused of being the problem and churches are shut down and Christians are threatened. You better be prepared. What will you do when that time comes? You see, the prudent man foresees the evil. He hides himself. He prepares himself. The Bible says here that we need to see beyond the immediate. Not just, you know what, sometimes our problem is all we see is today. Our bellies, our desires, our wants today. It's all we see. All we care about is our emotions. What makes me feel good? Why am I 300 pounds? Because ice cream made me feel good on a daily basis. And now it makes me feel bad on a long-term basis. We don't foresee ahead. We simply are just preaching. What makes me? Why do girls pick the wrong guy? Because somehow that guy made them feel good and validated and value. And though he was a mess and though he had problems, they didn't see the future, didn't see ahead, and they simply passed on. And now, how many women sit in church and say, preacher, pray for my husband. He's not saved. He's not serving God. Because they didn't foresee, they didn't have discretion. How many times have we heard young men whose wives have left them and broke up the marriage and they weep and cry? The problem is they didn't see ahead. How many young folks have gotten themselves in trouble and said, I wish I'd never done that? You can't rely upon your emotions, because your emotions will lead you astray every day. You must depend upon God. You must foresee, be prudent, be wise, have discretion. Foresee ahead the future, the actions of your choices. Foresee ahead. Let me tell you something. If you don't do well in school, so first it's just school. No, it's your character. If you can't do you well in school, I guarantee you the guy that didn't try to do well in school doesn't do very good in his job. So here's, I'm not going to make an A. I didn't make very many A's either. It's not about making an A all the time. It's about you being a prudent in your affairs and having discretion. And if I develop a bad character in my school life, I'm not going to be a very, very good worker or very good husband. It's not about grades. It's about your character. But having value. So see beyond the immediate. See beyond your emotions. The prudent man, he foresees this and he hides himself. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Where do we hide? We hide with God. He's our refuge. We hide in the Word of God. We hide in prayer. We hide in our family's refuge. We hide in the church house. We hide in the things of God. Number four is this tonight. Listen to the counsel of the older men and women. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs 1, verse number 5, and Proverbs 20 as well. How do I get discretion, preacher? How do I get wisdom? Pursue God more than any other of your pursuits. Trust God with your life, with your actions, with your plans, with your future. See beyond the immediate and beyond your emotions. Listen to the counsel of the older men and women. Proverbs 1, verse number 5 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And the man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 20 and verse number 5, the Bible says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, when my great-grandfather died on my grandmother's side, he was still Amish. And we went down to the funeral in Missouri to the funeral to see the relatives. And I was just a young boy back then, and they had one of those old fashioned wells where you had to pump the handle. You know, they weren't old fashioned when I was growing up. You've seen those quite often, the old wells that you pump the handle. You know, that water never came out of the well by itself. You never just walked by; it was running. The handle didn't move by itself. You went over there and sometimes you even had to pour water down the well to get it primed, and then you would pump down that well, and you pump on it, and just a few pumps, it would, all of a sudden this nice, cold well water would come out, and you put it into a tin cup, and that everybody drank out of, by the way. It was just wired to the well, everybody had, you know, or that old steel ladle, you know, you start just lapping it out, and it was refreshing and cool, and it was good water. You know, oftentimes these old gray heads just don't spout out wisdom. But their wisdom is runs deep. And a young man of understanding, a young lady of understanding and discretion that loves God will go to these old gray hairs and say, how did you do it? And they draw that wisdom. They go there and they, listen, go by some of these old men that have gray hair and start pumping their arm. Grab their arm and just start pumping up and down. What are you doing? I'm wanting to draw some wisdom out. How did you serve God? How did you get a job and serve God in your job and be a good testimony in the workplace? How did you stay married all these years? And how did you raise your kids? And how did you read your Bible? And what are you praying? And how do you get your prayers answered? And how do you serve God the way you do? How do you witness to somebody? How do you pass out tracts? You gotta get the wisdom of the old generation. But preacher, this is so old fashioned. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being old fashioned. That's the problem with our generation today. They don't want to be old fashioned. So how do you get wisdom? It doesn't grow on trees. You see, some of you have a bad attitude toward your parents, your grandparents. You think that they're out of touch, they're old-fashioned, because they don't have a great big degree behind their name, or some big house, or some big fancy car. You think they're stupid. They got more wisdom in their little finger than you do your whole body. And do you well to go buy some of these old-timers and say, how did you do it? When's the last time you called an old-timer in our church? You see, you spend hours on Facebook, hours on YouTube. Hours. I'm talking about hours. Hours a day on social media. Hours a day with your own peers that know nothing more than you know. Whose lives are messed up, whose lives are on the verge of ruin. You idolize worldly influences and worldly idols. And by the way, if I was a mom or dad and my kids had posters of Hollywood and rock stars in their room, I'd rip them down.
Amen.
And what you need, young folks, tonight, by the help of God, and I'm not mad tonight, I'm not mad at you, I just don't want you to suffer death inch by inch. Amen. So what do? You get to these old people, you call them up on the phone, you go by their house. You spend time with them. See, you think nothing of spending hours with unsaved people. Nothing with spending hours with each other, just cracking up and having a good time. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against, young folks having a good time together is a blessing to watch and to see. When's the last time you went by a man like Brother Matt Urban, Jim Tigges, or these older men of the church, and said, listen, how did you do it? How did God use you? When did God call you? When did you get saved? When was the last time some of you young ladies went to an older woman in the church and said, listen, how did you become a godly woman? See, the problem is you don't want to hear that. Because you're content being an average, nominal, just run-of-the-mill Christian. It's not that tonight that you're rebellious. It's not tonight that you want to get back, but want to be backslidden. It's sometimes you're just void of understanding. And everyone faces that problem. The big issue is if you want to stay in that problem. So how do you get it? Pursue God first and foremost. Trust Him. Don't just see the immediate and your immediate wants and your desires and your emotions. Listen to the counsel of the old men and women around you. Listen. Number five is this. Be spiritual. I want to read to you the verse. I know it's past time. Thank you for being patient. I want you to read this verse tonight, and then we'll get to the last point, and we'll go home. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 says this, and I just want to read it to you tonight. You can turn it if you want to. I'm not going to wait for you. So if you get there while I'm still there, God bless you. Hurry up, Mrs. Anderson. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is your Bible even out? Get your Bible out. Come on now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You getting close? You're there. Good for you. I knew you were going to find it. 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse 14. Watch what the Bible says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know what God's saying? God said, and the natural man, the unsaved man, does not understand the wisdom or the mind of God. You know why? Because they appear to be foolish. You know why the left tonight can say church is not essential? Because in their mind, the things of God are foolish. Christ is foolish. Oh, he is a great baby in a manger. But upon the throne, he's foolish to the unsaved man. But God said this to the spiritual man. Those who are spiritual, the things of God are spiritually discerned. And he says this, that a spiritual man, he judges, but he that is spiritual judges all things. You know what that means? He discerns all things. Be spiritual. Well, I don't want to accuse of being too spiritual. You won't find that in the book. That should be a compliment, by the way. When somebody says to you, well, you're just way too spiritual. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. If your friend said, listen, you're a goody two-shoes. You're one of those Christians. You're too spiritual. Thank you, sir. By the way, if you're too spiritual, that'll save a lot of heartache from those who are too carnal. Because a carnal man doesn't want the spiritual man around them very often. Be spiritual. Hey, in church, participate. Be spiritual. You young folks, get involved. Sing songs. Get up and sing specials. Read your Bible along with the church house and answer the questions in the devotion book. Have testimonies and prayer requests and answers of prayer. Get involved and knock on doors. Be spiritual. Help your parents at home and read and have devotions together. Be spiritual. Say no to sin and be spiritual. Hey, don't let your heart run away with you and lead you down the wrong path and yield to temptation. You can be spiritual. Preacher, it's not cool to be spiritual. It's not cool to be dead either. It's not cool to be caught in the harlot's house either. By the way, the harlot here, God does, it is talking about fornication, but it's a great big picture of all other kinds of sins too. And God said this, that discretion will keep you from all those sins. Sins of the heart, anger. Some of you young folks with uncontrolled anger. Well, I can't help it. Be spiritual, you could. See, the problem is not your anger, the problem is you're not spiritual. That's the problem. See, you're angry not because of your grandpa and your grandma, or your mom and your dad, or the church house. You're angry because you're in the harlot's house doing things, looking at things you ought not look at and do. Now you're an angry young pup. But if you just would be spiritual and walk with God, this idea, well, preacher, I'm just too young for all that business. No, you're at the right age to be spiritual. And by being spiritual, God will give you discretion. You'll judge all things. God, do you want me to do this? God, should I go down the street corner, God, be with those people? Should I take that first drink? Should I smoke that first cigarette? Should I go with that girl? Should I hold hands? Should I kiss? Should I be in the backseat of a car? Should I be alone with another person? That's not my family. Hey, and all these things, we judge all things. You see, the liberal today says, well, that's just meddling. That's legalism. That's called discretion. Because a street corner is just a street corner. And it's just the snare over here of death. But see, he got here because it was just a street corner. Be spiritual. Lastly is this. Don't change your course. Look at me lastly, Proverbs chapter 4. Lastly is this, don't change your course. Proverbs 4:25 says this. Look what it says here. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Watch verse number 26 now. Ponder the path of thy feet, that all thy ways be established. God's saying this, use discretion. Preacher, I'm going to choose this college. Better ponder it. Preacher, I'm going to choose the military. Better ponder it. Preacher, I'm going to choose this woman to marry, this man and woman. Better ponder it. Better use discretion. Preacher, I'm going to miss church this week. You better ponder it. Preacher, I'm going to, you better ponder. He does ponder. Use discretion. Let all thy ways be established. Not to what the preacher says. Not to what the domination says. To the word of God. What does God say? Then God says this. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Here's what God's saying. When you ponder and God gives you direction, then don't move to the left or the right. Stay the course. Stay the course. You know, there are some things in my life that, I'll be honest tonight. Can I be a little transparent with you? There are times that I would rather do something else than in my flesh than pastor a church. So, well, how can it be? Go do it. Go do it. But you see, that question was said a long time ago. And though sometimes I let my mind wander, and my flesh get the best of me, the question, what I should be doing with my life, was said a long time ago, and God said, all right, here's the direction I'm giving you. Don't move to the left or the right. 47 years ago, a couple said, I do. I guarantee in 47 years, they've had some battles and some trials and some obstacles and some headbutting going on. That's why Jim is bald. You know what they did? They said this. Now, I don't know. I'm sure that Jim and Julia, like anybody else, have their own problems and their own sinful nature, their own flesh to deal with. But somewhere along the line, this couple said, we're not moving to the left or to the right, or stand married. Stand married. Some of you have been in church a long time. It's not been problem free. And whether it's been the church house, God's people, or even the pastor, you've been hurt along the way. I have been hurt by preachers and by church members. I have hurt people as a pastor. Sometimes not always intentionally, sometimes out of a little anger and flesh. You know why you're still here tonight? Some of you are still here tonight? Because God gave you direction a long time ago and you said, I'm not moving to the left or the right. Not changing course because of a problem. That's called discretion. Let me ask you a question. Those who have changed course because of a problem or a heartache or a hurt, can I ask you tonight, without being unkind or pharisaical, where are they? See, now we can judge all things without being judgmental. We can say, listen, what they did didn't work for them. I ain't trying it. I'm going to stick to the stuff. I'm going to stay standing by the Word of God and by Christ Jesus. I'm not moving because somebody did something wrong or somebody did something to hurt me. Somebody said something foolish. I'm sticking by I'm not moving to the left or right. Don't change course. You know our generation today has changed courses? They left the church of God, left their parents' house. They went off to some liberal, some college and got smarter than their parents, smarter than their preacher, smarter than God. They changed some things. They hooked up with the wrong people. Now they're changing direction. They're changing course. Oh, not those. Oh, well, preacher, are they bad? No. But their direction is moving away from the things of God. Just one small step at a time. How did the church in America get so liberal over the years? How do we get here? How do we get to the place where we're fighting against queers in the pulpit? How do we get to the place where we're having to worry about people in the church house molesting children? How do we get to the place where pastors are divorcing and staying in the ministry? Where folks are on the side drinking and taking drugs on the side and mixed up in pornography and that's ruining their lives? It didn't come all of a sudden overnight. It came just one small step. The street corner became okay. Talking to the wrong people became okay. Walking the heart to her house became okay. Living in her house became okay. The problem is not living in her house. The problem is way back there, the street corner. So now when your parents say something, grandpa and grandma say something, preacher says something, we're like, whoa, man, that is just way too far to the right. You are cultish. You are a dictator. You are nuts. You're a fanatic. What's so wrong with? Without discretion, we face death one inch at a time. Can I encourage you tonight? Get discretion. Tonight, if you miss everything I've said, remember this. Pursue God more than any other pursuits that you have. Pursue God. Seek Him. He's greater than any treasure you may have, find. He's worth more than silver. He's worth more than any treasure that any treasure hunter may ever find. Jesus Christ is our life. And our life is hid in Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And you can't be blessed without Him. Pursue God. Lord, tonight we come to You, Father, in closing. Lord, tonight I wonder, Father, Lord, as I preach tonight and study the message, Father, Lord, I wonder sometimes, Lord, if I pursue You as like I ought to. Lord, help us tonight as a people, as a church house, as young people tonight, as moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, help us, Lord, I pray, with the world that we live in, the confusion and fear that surrounds us, the sin that tempts us, Father, help us, I pray, dear Lord, to pursue You, Father, more than any other pursuit that we may have. May You be first in our life, we ask God tonight. Give us discretion, Lord. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. We pray that You'd help us tonight in Your name. Let's all stand tonight. It's been up against the Plenty Invitation song. Tonight, you need to come. Perhaps I can say, preacher, I've been here. I've been tonight. And for the most part, we're all saved tonight. But preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not sure that I've been saved. That heaven's my home. I'm not sure that my sins have been forgiven. And I want to know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that heaven's my home. Tonight, would you come and get saved? Tonight, would you come and receive Christ your Savior tonight? You need to come and see when you come. Perhaps now you say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I need God's wisdom. I need His discretion. I need His understanding. Tonight, would you come tonight at the altar and just pursue God? Say, God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me to trust You, Lord. Help me to seek You first. Acknowledge You in all my ways, Lord. Lord, direct my paths. Lord, keep me from making the wrong choices tonight. Give me discretion, God. Help me discern, not at the harlot's house, but at the street corner, what I should do. Tonight, you come. Would you come this evening? So I'll just pray at my pew tonight. You'd be better off praying at the altar tonight. You need to come this evening. So why should I come to the altar? Well, it shows a little bit of humility. Might encourage somebody else to come. One more stanza. If no one else comes out, we'll close the invitation. You need to come this evening. We need discretion. Now you need discretion. Discernment. Understanding. Be able to see down the road ahead of time and say, if I make this choice, if I choose this path, if I choose, make this decision, this is what's going to end me, this is what's going to happen to my life, this is what's going to cause me to do. And listen, young folks tonight, when you're in your teen years and young adult years, there are no small decisions. Every choice you make has an impact upon your life. It's like a stone being thrown in the lake. There'll always going to be ripple effects. Hey, amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. Again, tonight, if you walk out of here tonight, forgetting everything that I've said tonight, and like, well, I don't need all that, just remember this. I need to pursue the Lord. Above all my other pursuits, I'm going to pursue God in my life first and foremost. More than you need my approval, man's approval, you need God's approval and God's pleasure. Seek Him first and foremost, young people. Make Him the priority in your life. That old song, let's talk about Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Not less and less. Pursue the Lord tonight. Pursue Him with all your heart. Lord, tonight we come to You, Father, in closing. Thank You, Lord, for the patience of our people. It's been a little longer, Lord, than I anticipated or planned. But, Lord, I didn't have any peace about stopping at midpoint. God, help us and I pray. Give us discretion, Father, not just as young people, but as moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas and adults. Lord, help us realize that sin often comes just one step at a time before we, Lord, we're out of Your will. Lord, help us, I pray tonight. We ask in Your name. Amen.